Acts chapter 26, just a few verses here. It's a familiar text and a familiar time in the writer and the Apostle Paul's life. He has been brought before Agrippa and Festus here, and he had appealed to Caesar. They asked him if he wanted to go back to Jerusalem and answer, and he said, I don't have anything to answer to over there. Everything that's going to happen in Jerusalem's already happened over there as far as this is concerned. Said Jesus died and rose again and said, met me on the road to Damascus over here. I have no need to go back there. Said, but I'm going to Rome. And some said, well, that was, you know, he carried out his own death sentence by being obedient to the Father. Jesus told him, God told him he was going to Rome. And he went. And you know what? I can't find anywhere that he ever preached against what the Romans were doing as far as the government went. I can't find where he is out protesting and doing all this stuff. And they were against him because of one thing. He was preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the Son of God, the living Son of God. And he declared plainly that this man that you think is dead is alive. I'm telling you today, my Savior is still alive today. I'm from a lot of folks' countenance, and from a lot of folks' worship, from a lot of folks' walk, you'd think Jesus is dead. But I'm here to report today that he is still alive, and he still is saving sinners. He still is making a difference in folks' lives. Paul here has been brought down to the house, and they're fixing to question him, and Agrippa and Festus is there, and you'd think when he got before them he'd change his text, he'd go a different route and say, I'm a Roman and I've been done wrong and it shouldn't have been done this way. But he just stuck with the verse that had been the verse throughout his whole ministry, and it was the road to Damascus experience. He had took all that he learned at the foot of Gamaliel. He took all of that school and all that learning he had, and he said, I count that but dung, but this one thing I count worthy, it is the cross of Calvary today. So here he is before him, and he begins to testify to him a little bit. He said, I want you to listen to this. And he said, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Aren't you glad to that? That's the reason he said he is apostle. I'm born out of due time. To be apostle, you had to see the Savior. And he saw him here on the road to Damascus. Aren't you glad of that today? But my friend, listen, he went further. But he said, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for thine purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things of which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. I want to stop right there and want you to realize that something here, what he said there, said he's going to deliver him from the people and the Gentiles. My friend, I want you to realize something. We were looked at no more than dogs. He didn't say the people and stop there. He was talking about the Jews there being people, and everybody else was the Gentiles. I'm telling you today, when the Lord redeemed man, it's no wonder today that I rejoice knowing what I was and what I am. But thanks be unto God. When he died on Calvary and the veil was ripped, it opened it up for whosoever will. That's how you got in. It wasn't because where you went to church. It wasn't because who your family was. It wasn't because who your pastor was. But it was because of what happened at Calvary that night, that afternoon on the hillside, when God clothed the world in darkness and his Son paid the debt, a sin debt he did not owe, that you and I might have redemption. Amen. Paul said, hey, he done this and put me on a journey.
Oh yeah.
And You know, if you listen to folks in the mainstream today and they tell about their conversion after their Damascus experience, all they've got is mountaintops and everything is going well and everything's just a smooth sailing along that. But I'm telling you, I don't find much Bible for that today. Listen, he didn't save Paul to make his life better. He saved Paul that the glory of God might be with him. I'm telling you today, when the Lord saves you, my friend, he puts you in a way, my friend, that he might transform you and he might make something out of you. I'm telling you, he's working on every one of his children still today. I thought about so many people. They've been so through so many things. I thought about the people in the congregation. Some of you have already lost children. I don't know about that. I've got two children and I'd die for either one of them. I've got two little grandgirls back there. And if you had to take somebody's life, I'd say take me and leave them. I don't understand your anguish of losing a child. I see others in the congregation. You've lost your helpmate and I've still got mine. But I'm seeing this through all of that. God's grace is still sufficient. When he told Paul over there, Paul said, I besought him thrice that he had removed this from my side. He said, but my grace is sufficient. I'm glad that we still got a God that is able to succor them, that is able to give nurture, that is able to give aid. I don't know about all that, but it don't mean I hadn't suffered. It don't mean that I don't have problems. But I'm glad he's the God of all comfort. Thought about as Max talked this morning about hearing that C word. And I heard a man preach one time, and he said, cancer's just a word till your name's tied to it. And then it becomes a sentence. And I thought about that a lot of times, and I've thought about when people talk about being diagnosed with cancer and how it must overwhelm. I've been in the hospital rooms when mamas and daddies seen their little boys laying there, and the doctor comes back and just cracks open the door and walks in and says it's cancer and we'll do what we can, but he's got the most aggressive kind. I'm glad in those hours the Lord of heaven still picks us up and is still our guide and refuge. I'm talking about a man here, Paul, giving his defense here. He knew about struggles, he knew about trials. You know what he knew about the Jewish towns? He knew all those that could really give a good licking. Because five times his beat saved one stripe having 40. I don't know about you, but I've had some pretty bad whippings by my daddy when I was growing up. Now, I don't think I ever got more than four or five lashes. And he had compassion for me and didn't do everything he could have done. But these men, when they got to meeting on Paul, and you know the only thing they had against him was who his God was. He, the only thing they had against him, because his preaching in the name of a risen Savior. And my friend, they couldn't find anything else against him. He wasn't married, didn't have no children. And my friend, all he just give his life to the Lord, and there's a beating on him. And I'm telling you, when they get through beating on him and tell him not to say no more, he'd go out and rejoice because he's counted worthy. And my friend, then he'd get the ship get shipwrecked. Can you imagine how his peers must have looked at Paul and said, if you'd straighten up, if you'd just do right some of these things you're going through, you wouldn't be going, boy, ain't we got some good friends in the world. When you're down and when everything's falling apart, you remember the three friends Job had? I think they still live in Etowah, Marshall County, and they're still going around helping folks today. And tell them, said, why don't you just admit what you've done, that God
kid, brother. The preachers talk about wayward kids and everybody knows how to handle them, except the poor people of Adam. I thought my trouble with my kids would be when they was little.
Bless you,
but the hardest thing you'll ever do is watch somebody in your family live beneath what God has for them.
Amen.
Yeah. Choose the pleasures of this world for a short season. If I just straighten up and do better, I probably wouldn't have a lot of the problems I have. You go ahead and believe that if you want to. Sister Jean, there's something working inside of me right now. God's got his hands on this clay. And there's some knots still in this clay. And every now and then, Brother Mickey, while he's got his hands on the outside, he'll feel one of them knots come through. He'll stop the wheel a little while and put me in his hands. And he'll go to mashing on them hard spots, trying to soften that up that he might make a vessel of honor out of me. Hey, hey, I'm telling you, having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. I'm telling you today, folks, don't quit, don't give up, don't get discouraged. Listen, this is a wayward way. This is a way of troubles and sorrows, but there's glory on the other side. I'll soon be through with these troubles and trials. You say, preacher, you're preaching a dark path. I'm just trying to be honest with you today. There's trouble on every hand. But I'm not troubled. Well, if you've seen all of my situation, all I had going on, you say, boy, I'd take a gun and blow my brains out. I ain't got to worry about why. Because it's all his.
Yeah. Amen.
It's all his. I'm his and he's mine.
Yeah.
But here Paul is. He's appealed to them. And he gets to tell them about the Lord. And about that time, old Festus jumps up, kind of like some of you looking at me like right now. Looking at me right now. And said, Paul, you've learned so much, it's run you crazy. You've read so much, and you've studied so much, and you've heard so much, it's made a fool out of you. Well, I'm telling you, if you want to say that about the saints of God that rejoice in tribulations, rejoice in trouble, and rejoice, listen, I'm telling you today, there's a comfort and a peace inside of me, as Brother Max talked about when he went to have the open heart surgery. There was total peace on the inside. Just like the Shunammite woman you read about, the reason she could say all is well, if the son come back to life, he'd be in her lap. But if he didn't come back to life, he's in the arms of a righteous God. I'm telling you today, for a child of God, all is well. Festus, so he was new to the area. He didn't understand all this Jewish stuff and all about Moses and all that. He was a Roman. But now Agrippa, King Agrippa, he knew. He knew. And Festus, he thought he'd done slipped the chain. Can I say this? If some of you got saved, really started living right, some of your family worried about you.
Yeah.
When you quit doing everything that the world does,
they'll
go to hating on you.
Amen.
What they'll do, and they'll say, you think you're better than me, and you won't even say nothing to them.
Amen.
And they'll accuse you of that.
Right.
And they'll say, you think your kids is better than our kids because you won't let them do what their kids do. I'm going to say, just stay with it. Just stay with it. Don't worry about it. You ain't the first and you won't be the last. It started here with Paul and they got on him pretty heavy. Let me read. I want to read one other part down here. You can be just patient with me. And he said, for these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me.
But he said, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Can I?
Help him, Lord.
How many of you have lived through some things that when you got on the front side of that mountain, you said there's no way I'll ever get through this?
Yeah.
How many things in our past experience have we seen that when we were faced with it, we said, this is more than I can bear. This is higher than the mountain I can climb. This is deeper than the valley I can go through. This is wider than anything I can span across. My friend, but where are you today? You're still in the arms of a loving Savior when you couldn't make it. I've heard people say all my life, he would put more upon us than we can bear. I don't know exactly where that's at in Scripture, because I ain't found it yet, but I found this. When it got too much for me to bear, he said, I'm a burden bearer. You come unto me, all you laden and heavy laden, I'll give you rest for your soul. I'm telling you today, in these times, you better have somebody to yoke up with. Having obtained help of God. How many of us have come back and said, boy, I thank God for helping me?
Yeah.
Now I'm talking about when they laid them lashes on you, they wasn't playing around with it. When they locked him in Silas and throwed him down there in the inner part of that prison, they had thrown him in there to leave him to die. That's what they'd done. But then somebody come through there and they began to sing and pray, and the Holy Ghost rocked that place. And my friend, listen, they come out of there victorious. Listen, just because you're in a struggle, just because you're in a bad spot, my friend, don't give up on God this morning. Having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. I plan on making it all the way, Brother Mickey. Why? Because I've got some little ones around me that need to see something steady, that need to see somebody that loves God above everything else. I got to thinking on some things over there a while ago. Your kids pick up on things, and I begin to get excited in my soul, trying to control myself, sitting back there. That oldest granddaughter of mine, Jean, looked at me in the eyes and said, Papa, what's wrong with you? She said, you look like you're upset. I'ma tell you, when God breaks out on you, somebody will know about it, Brother Jerry. They didn't nobody ask Paul who he was with. They knew who he was with 1 minute after talking to him.
Right.
Having a pain help of God. He told about all those things that had happened to him. He said, I had perils from my countrymen. I had perils from the heathen.
Yeah.
He said, I had trouble in the city. He said, when I got out in the wilderness, there's trouble there.
Yeah.
He said, but through all of this,
yeah,
it's been well worth my journey. And I believe this as much as I'm here tonight, today, that when Paul got down there to the very last person that was beside him, when they was getting ready to take his life, I believe he said, have I ever told you about my Savior? Have I ever told you what happened over there on the road to Damascus? Here he is, sitting there in 2 Timothy, hearing that axe being sharpened. But I guarantee you, every guard that come through there could tell you about Paul's experience. Having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Paul, you fixing to die? No. I'm fixing to start living. I ain't never lived like I'm fixing to live. Paul, you're fixing to lose your head. No, I'm fixing to gain eternity. I'm telling you today, having obtained help of God, I continue to this day.
Amen.
us tomorrow, the help of God.
Yeah.
They something got a hold of them.
Yeah.
And see, I believe the church has forgot that. But you know who I've really got? You know what God's really tendered my heart to? Brother Meek, you know what God is really? I'm talking about, it ain't folks that look like us no more. It ain't folks in suits and ties and in good clothes and skin that ain't got markings on them. But when I see these people that look like that the world has had their way with them, for some reason God has broke my heart towards them. Why? Because it seems like everybody else has forgot them. I'm telling you, there's not any of us. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd be in the same shape today. We need to tender our heart back and remember what we were, for God saved us. I was going to try to leave that out, but I can't. I can't explain to it, but I seen a fella the other day, and I don't know why, but my heart just wept for him, and I even began to cry within myself, because I said, more than likely, this man or this person don't have anybody that loves them and cares. I'm talking about really loves them. Let the world, and folks, we've got a message that the world needs to hear. Paul was in troubled times, but all he had was Jesus saved them.
Amen.
Jesus wants to save you, was his message. I wish you weren't almost, but all together,
yeah,
as I am, then I see him raising little frail arms with them chains and shackles on him. He said, except these bonds.
Yeah.
He said, this is the least of my worries right now. I said, I wish you had what I had.
Yeah.
I have you got something that you wish somebody else had? Oh, if I could give peace. You know how, you realize how things would slow down in a lot of our lives if we got peace on the inside.
Amen.
We've got folks in the church doing everything they can to acquire peace by more and bigger things and more things. And the more stuff they get and the bigger things they get, the less peace they have. And my friend, we go back a few decades ago and we look in these old houses, one and two room houses, and they had a couple of chairs and a little table. But when they sat down, they was at peace with God. They'd go and sleep at night, not worried about tomorrow, because they believed their Bible. They trusted God's word when he said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. They went to sleep on that. They got up on that. They walked on that. They prayed on that. They stayed on that. And they died with that. And now we talk about how they live instead of how we're living. Preacher, when you talk about all these other men, how they get up and shout. What are we leaving as a heritage behind us?
That's right. Amen.
I want my grandkids and I want my kids to know, having a take. Listen, I may have been through some rough spots, but I never quit and I never gave up on God. And I'm coming out on the other side one day. It's not what I leave them in the bank that's going to matter. I want them to know that Daddy had been with God, that Papa loved God. They don't understand it right now, but maybe one day they will, Mickey. I'm saying we need to understand it's because of God we've made it this far, and we ought to rejoice in that.
Amen.
What can I brag on?
Yeah.
My brother-in-law, I love him. He's always been, he's just steady. I thank God for just being, he's steady. Don't seem like you can rock him out of his boat. He just steady. You say, preacher, you shouldn't be. No, I don't care. You're going to find something anyway. Just find that and pick at that. But I'm telling you, I love that there's some examples around me. Sister Jean, I remember seeing you in Birmingham when you'd been diagnosed with the cancer, and you seemed like you didn't even, somebody told you that you had a sore throat or something. It didn't even seem to bother you. And I thought, what great faith, and how it was a testament to me. I'm telling you, I know it's about 12. If you would, stand to your feet.